Hello. I am so happy to be here this morning. Thank you so much. You know, every workshop I've come to at Cranford has been different over the last 4 or 5 years. We just keep reinventing ourselves in this meeting. And it's still great to be here every Saturday morning. I brought a picture. My sponsor suggested that I bring a picture. Could you start this around? And I found one and blew it up. When in my family of origin, I was a fat kid. I was a fat adolescent, obese young woman going to college, and that's what I looked like for most of my life, except for those rare instances when I went away from home, and sometimes I would lose weight and I'd come back and get fluffy again, and never realized why. Never realized that, you know, this program explains this malady better than anything I've ever gone to or attended before, any weigh in pay group, any psych book. I come here and I connect and I feel at home. And my pulse calms down. I came in May of 1981. My mother had mentioned this program a year before. I called, nobody answered the hotline. In 1981, I had the gift of desperation. I was about 25 pounds from that picture. And I had so many passports from a weigh-in-pay place and knew if I went there again, it would have, you know, it wouldn't work. There was nothing that would keep me after the first couple of weeks. So I went to this meeting at St. Cecilia's, and there was a beautiful woman in the front of the room, and at the end of her talk, she said, I lost 200 pounds. And everything about this meeting was different from any place I had ever been. And she told me to get a sponsor and a big book, and that's what I did. And I called this girl that was 6 weeks ahead of me in program. And just kept coming back. A light went on for me at that meeting. These people knew about the problem that I had. They could put it in language. And I felt at home. We had the big book and we had the AA 12 and 12. We didn't have this book, the OA 12 and 12. We had a few mimeograph pamphlets and the original Dignity of Choice, which is very different from the one we have today. And so that's what I had. I had my big book and this food plan. And I picked a food plan and called this girl every day. And I was so grateful for the fact that she offered to sponsor me. I did not dare deviate from this because I knew it was the last lifeline. It took me about 2 weeks to say, you know, I'm hungry. Between meals, and she said to me, can you read your big book? She was, her sponsor was like one of the leaders in the group, did tons and tons of service, sponsored many people. My sponsor, her connection to me, was not that way, but she was a person that was willing to give me some time and kept me here. At one point in time, my sponsor was out of town, so I got to call the other girl, and I said, she suggested I go to a second meeting. Well, I was a young mother with two small kids. I said, I can't go to two meetings a week. It's just enough for me to get out to one. She said, just suggesting. And the second meeting was a big book meeting on Thursday night in Colonial Library. And that was the first time, I read this big book, didn't make much sense without any of you. That was the first time I connected with any of the words in the book. Joyce, who used to come to this meeting, she's passed away, pointed out the part on page 36 where Jim had gone to, had stopped after having an appointment and he had a couple of sandwiches. And he decided that since he had sandwiches and a couple of glasses of milk, he could add some whiskey to it. And that the sentence in here is, suddenly the thought crossed my mind that if I were to put an ounce of whiskey in my milk, it couldn't hurt me on a full stomach. How many failed promises have I had like that? I vaguely sensed I was not being any too smart, but felt reassured that I was taking the whiskey on it. How many times has that phrase gone through my head? I vaguely sensed that I was not being any too smart. Sometimes that sentence has helped me to get out of the break room. Because I worked in a sales marketing organization, and you know, every time they had a meeting, there was food. And one day I'm looking at the things that were brought in, and the girl had delivered them that morning. And I said, "Those are good." She says, "I baked them fresh." And I'm looking at this and saying, "Gee, could it be part of my, or could I save it for tomorrow morning?" And I took myself, I said, "Sweetie, time to get out of the break room." Mm-hmm. Out and went to my desk and called somebody, and I said, the things are talking to me. And she said, "You've made a good call this morning." It took me 6 years. I worked with people in the program. I did service. I led meetings. But at the I was abstinent for 6 years. At about the six-year mark, I had trouble with the food, and I knew that whatever I was doing, I needed to do something different. So I picked the strongest woman I could find and said to her, "Could you sponsor me through the steps?" And she said, "No, I don't have any time now." I said, "Would you keep me in mind when you do have time?" And a couple of weeks later, she walked up to me and said, "Somebody just dropped me. You can call me at 5:30. Call me for 30 days with the food. I want you to read the doctor's opinion when you come home tonight." And everything was like, it was like I was in the drill sergeant's program for working the steps. And it was the best thing I've ever done for myself. The first thing she had me read was the doctor's opinion. For 6 years, I was sitting in these rooms, never read the doctor's opinion. The doctor's opinion is in the front of the big book because the doctor was not an alcoholic. And maybe that's why people skip it. I don't know. But it says in here, the action of alcohol on these chronic alcoholics is a manifestation of an allergy. That phenomenon of craving is limited and never occurs in the average temperate drinker. My aunt, when I was a kid, said, "Christina, you have such a pretty face. If you'd only get on a nice diet, if I could have gone on a nice diet, my life certainly would have been different." I couldn't. What kept me alive until I got here was the food that I put in my mouth to keep my nerves under control. I believe I have physical, emotional, psychological, spiritual patterns. When I get afraid, they get kicked in. Sometimes my body thinks it's hungry. It's not hungry. It's fearful. I had to learn to recognize that that's a feeling, that's a pattern. Sometimes the feelings are uncomfortable, and I need to learn how to sit through them. I became, my relationship with my mother got healed as a result of working this program. And I became her healthcare proxy. And I was never her favorite child. And after she died, I thought, well, you know, all that is behind me. But I was on every emergency room run. Every time she was in the hospital, or many days, even if she wasn't in the hospital, I'd go over to the nursing home to visit her. A lot of stress and responsibility was on my shoulders. And after she died, every time I heard an ambulance go by, I'd start to cry. Mm-hmm. It was an emotional response. It was stress and part of the grieving. Sometimes I'd pull the car over to the side of the road and say, "Okay, God, guess we're just going to cry now. We're going to have a feeling." And when I allowed it, you know, when I could pull over onto the side of the road, the feeling had a beginning, a middle, and an end. And, you know, whatever I was able to do for her, I did from a free heart. I brought the tissues today because I'm a crier, not for Kim. And it's because my heart is open. And many of the things that that I put down on that fourth step, I tried to bargain. I said, I can't do this, you know, at this point in time with that sponsor that was so strict. She says, honey, I take people 1 to 12. You deserve the way you're going to feel when you finish. And I can tell you the fourth and the fifth step, I just kind of followed directions, and I told her it was the ninth that my knees quaked because there were some things that I had done I thought I was going to die with. Never speak to them again. And I found people and made my apologies. And after I made one of them, I felt like cinder blocks fell off my shoulders. And I heard this voice, and I don't hear voices. And it said, isn't it about time you forgave yourself? I didn't know that my shame was such a barrier between me and my relationships and my ability to try to bring my best self to the table. That's one of the things. You know, I'll be grateful to the day I die. I never left. There were times when I was so involved with my health care, my mother's health care, that meetings got fewer and fewer and my skirts got tight. And I can remember coming to this meeting on a Saturday morning and sitting and reading. And I love the big book so much that when, you know, when those beautiful passages come up, I can't help but cry. And I'd start to cry and I'd say, guess it's okay for somebody else to read now. And this meeting, I did that for 4 weeks, 1 year. And then something switched in my head, and I was able to go to the Sunday night meeting and ask one of the women there, who was not abstinent, you know, just a nice woman who came to the meeting every week, anybody stand up and say they could be a sponsor? And I connected with the woman who had 1 year in program and 1 year's abstinence, and I had one of the most fun years of my life. And, you know, there are just so many gifts as a result of walking this path for 32 years, 34 in May. Some of my favorite, one of the things that I love to work on the literature with people. And one of my favorite stories, when they released the fourth edition of the Big Book, I had to get a friend to read the new stories with because I knew I wouldn't finish by myself. But this meeting, as a result of that, I got familiar with this story. It's flooded with feelings. It says, from time to time, I would tell the truth. I said in a meeting that I was afraid to get a sponsor because I was afraid he might ask to do something. I left that meeting with a phone number. I called it, and sure enough, my new sponsor started leading me through the steps using the Big Book. I called him every day. I told him I just didn't want to be an alcoholic. He said it didn't matter what I wanted. The question I had to answer myself, whether I was or I wasn't. He even suggested that I try a little controlled drinking if I wasn't sure. I knew I'd never been able to do that. I didn't have to do any more research. All I really had to do was review the drinking I had already done. I remember telling my friend years ago that I didn't have a drinking problem, I had a stopping problem. We laughed. It was true. But there was something else going on, something that never occurred to me. Until I came to AA, I didn't have a stopping problem, I had a starting problem too. No matter how often I stopped or for how long, I started drinking again. And that was my history before I came in here. No matter how long I stopped, no matter what, you know, I could get down to a normal size from time to time, breathe in and out, and start going the other way. There was nothing that helped me when I came to those life challenges that, you know, starting a new school or a new career or a new relationship or watching somebody deteriorate from an illness, there was nothing that I could hold on to as a foundation for my life. And I found that all here with the connection. What I know today is the program can support you at any life stage and in any condition of health. Recently, I had an interesting fall It happened after one of the most beautiful days in my life. My daughter got married. It was the happiest wedding. I had a gorgeous dress. I had changed my food plan because of a problem with my foot about 2 months before. And the food plan, I dropped 10 pounds. They had to take the dress in because it was a size down from what I had ordered a year before. And I looked gorgeous. I danced the whole afternoon. 6 days later, I trip over a high chair in a restaurant and fracture my pelvis and become a shut-in in the house for the next 3 or 4 weeks. Thank God we have phone meetings. I have a few friends that have called me. God bless them, they showed up to the house. But every morning I pick up that phone and I dial that phone meeting and they talk about working the big book and being careful in your relationships with your family. One of the things I learned to do as a result of working the steps is to say, I'm sorry, can you forgive me? So, I connect and I don't feel alone and try to work through my feelings. I pray every day, and one of my new tools is this green card. When you come to hear me talk, you always get a prize. I'm on a daily email loop where people write on the for today, and I copied a friend of mine who's the chair in another group who has a lot of the grace and dignity I want. And he wrote me back that he had been to meetings recently and heard somebody saying something, and he wondered how the new people would react to that message. He said, you know, there are things that I do every day, less than 10 things that he does every day. And he says, then I make a daily alignment. And I thought, geez, that sounds like a good handout to me. It sounds like a good tool for me to use right now. So my daily actions are, I listen to the phone meeting, I read the program literature, turn my day over to God, I weigh and measure my food. That's important, particularly since I can't do the 7,000 or 10,000 steps I used to do. I make a plan of action, and I have picked up again calling 3 people. And people have been surprised hearing me on the phone this week. They thought since I'm chair, I'm calling them to do something. I'm just making my 3 phone calls, paying it forward because I'm still here. And my daily alignment, God, please direct my thinking. Abstinence, what does that look like to me today? Acceptance, how can I accept other people and myself? Gratitude, what do I have to be grateful for? Love, service, enthusiasm, this is the word. How can I be enthusiastic? Somebody told me a story of a person that fractured their pelvis while they were 2 states away. I was really grateful after that I got to come home to my own bed after a day in the hospital. And what is balance? And so on the back is the 3rd step prayer. People memorize the 3rd step prayer. It's really important in our fellowship. It's one of the ways I turn my life and my will over. And the 4th step resentment prayer has brought me a lot of peace and acceptance of other people. And so the most important thing in my life today is to try to be the most loving person I can be. Steps and the people in the fellowship, because there was a fellowship, because before there was a big book. People helped each other before there was a big book. If you don't understand everything the big book thumpers say, that's okay. Keep coming. It's when we stay away that we turn off the light for ourselves. And so for today, the light is on. I'm very grateful for everybody that's sitting here. I'm very grateful I only have to use the tissues now. I never thought when I began this journey 30 years ago that I would be here 30 years later. I could never forecast. Little Fanny was in the front of the room. She brought the meetings to New Jersey I never thought one day I would be the woman with the cane coming into the room. I hope to be the woman with the cane that has her marbles at 80 and 90 that can still read the big book.
Thank you.